Greetings. Welcome to session two of the Weighing Down book recitation and commentary course. This is Samuel, and happy to be speaking to you today. So in session one, we generally introduce things, and I commented a bit on the introduction. What if it's possible to make realization popular? Said a few things about Susan Sevilla's foreword and her participation in those early years when this book came to be, and told some of the history of the unfoldment of our Waking Down work, what has been called the Waking Down work and is now, as I explained, in some flux of transition here. We'll see how things unfold. So, recitation of the prologue. Each of my recitations, by the way, will cover something like maybe no less than 2 pages of the book, presumably no more than 4. Today's is about 4. Prologue, breaking the encryption of fundamental human confusion and separateness. As a champion of conscious embodiment and relatedness, I'm definitely not trying to come up with a process that carries even a whiff of, quote, do it yourself on your own, unquote. The approach described in this book requires actual personal connectedness, relatedness face to face. Therefore, I've written this book as something between a menu and an appetizer. If you want the feast in full, you will have to arrange to come and find me or one or more of my friends who has become, with my help, an autonomous adept of this waking down. This approach drives into a deeply grounded cellular transformation of your whole being. I also call it the white-hot way of mutuality. There is no substitute in it for personal connectedness with one or more living adepts or awakened teacher transmitters of that very transformation. Indeed, though I have been living, transmitting, and teaching this process for nearly 5 years now, I've never been at liberty to try to manage it on any kind of mass scale. It requires direct, intimate contact and access. If you're going to wake down all the way into the ecstatic murk of conscious embodiment, you are going to need qualified help at the ready. Moreover, you are not only going to need an adept who is personally committed to your awakening and ongoing transformation, you are also going to need true friends who are fellow journeyers on the path. Mutuality, Relatedness, immediate, vulnerable, in your life. The internet and email just won't do. Even the telephone is no complete substitute. The bodily senses and the feeling heart must have the real feast, the feast of real encounter with others, who are complete or certainly maturing templates of the very same freedom and joy that you aspire to. You also have to be met and held in your subconscious and unconscious depths. You have to be allowed to sink into and integrate all the dark, difficult zones and patterns of who you are that you have always found it necessary to suppress or escape. Being aware together there, speaking to one another in and from these hidden depths of shame and worthlessness. These kinds of contact are every bit as transformative as mutual bodily delight in the obviousness of spirit and consciousness. So I, for one, am not interested in making any communication that waking down is possible for those who would deprive their bodily senses and heart of the meal of such communion. That feast awaits all those who have begun to despair of what I call, in this book's subtitle and throughout the text, hypermasculine dharmas. I suggest that the force of hypermasculinity is deeply entrenched in all of us and is a primary obstacle to our true wellness of being. The term hypermasculine includes, but also goes beyond, what people mean nowadays when they speak critically of things patriarchal. Dharmas are expressions of the fundamental laws and truths that govern our existence. Hypermasculine points to every kind of reactive, dissociative, self-divided, idealistic, or conceptually based stance we human beings chronically take in the midst of our bewildering lives. It also refers to every kind of formulaic, superimposed, aggressive alteration of self, others, and world that we conceive and attempt to execute in order to achieve harmony, happiness, or fulfillment of any and all kinds. Thus, every meditation technique, every psychological and physical regimen for well-being, comes under this umbrella of hypermasculine dharma. You'll have to read on, and then go on to realize what I mean profoundly before the full extent and impact of our chronic hypermasculinity, even among feminists, goddess invokers and worshippers and the like, reveals itself to you. I'm not asking you to believe what I'm saying. I don't want you to just take it at face value. I'm asking you to investigate human culture and your own patterning so thoroughly that what I am saying here either proves itself to you beyond doubt or not. I am convinced that if we were to conduct that exploration together to our mutual satisfaction, you too would begin to see that all the dharmas, the sustaining truths, belief systems, ideologies, paths, laws, and teachings of our species to date are hypermasculine. Either they always were, or else they've become so over time. How is the way of waking down different? It's a complete relaxation into the very aspects of being that hypermasculinity reacts to. It's a falling, a yielding into such a deep acceptance of things as they are, that the deeper reality of all that is reveals itself, and thus prompts the spontaneous transformation of things as they have been. It is a feast of real arrival into and as who you are, in real encounter with others who are doing the same. This occurs through impassioned cooperation with the mysterious divine grace of the being force bestowed by the adepts of this waking down. That conscious power of being grants each and every body an integrity unprecedented in his or her previous experience. To live this exploration together, while enjoying such a banquet, the ultimate reality of being, is what I mean by mutuality. In mutuality, you become vulnerably accountable to others who, like yourself, are committed to the love, investigation, and expression of true and total being. And you discover that the matrix of those real relationships becomes an alchemical sanctuary of this superactivated or white-hot process of transformation. No effort is needed. It just happens. What you have to do to benefit, but it's a lot, is cooperate, much as a whitewater kayaker has to paddle to stay afloat. Its current consumes you, but it is you. What makes this way of mutuality white hot? Expose yourself to it. Let your heart and whole being be touched. You'll find out. The being force that makes all this not only possible but actual did not fall out of the sky. Nor did its precise formulation, as you encounter it here, come from any lineage guru, any deity, any tradition. I have spontaneously manifested it bodily since my own awakening in 1992, and I have greatly refined its transmission and expression during the years since. As long as I was the only one who could help people into this awakened life, I could not afford to make it available in a public way. The laws of the process required that I devote myself to the small number of people whom I could personally serve on a regular basis. Only such concentrated service could ensure them the best opportunity to awaken. I had to be there for them and with them, all the way into and beyond the advent of non-separate freedom. Now, however, at least 10 of my friends have entered what I call the second birth, or divinely human self-realization of being, to such a degree that they see they must begin their own awakened service as adepts. Several already have. They are finding such work necessary even for their own growth. Transmitting or radiating this embodied freedom to others has become their spontaneous, effortless reality, and teaching it has become their unavoidable necessity. Another 10 or so are awake, and many of them are also moving in the direction of necessary, inevitable, adept service. The way of waking down is structured to grow by the networking that we find natural. Suddenly, I have a network of actively emerging teacher transmitters. And we and several dozen others who are steadily awakening have found ourselves living in an ever more catalytic alchemy of mutuality. This has occurred without our imposing on ourselves the necessity to create any kind of intentional community. It's a free, natural, voluntary association which each one chooses or not as he or she is so moved. So this way is now ready to grow into much more visible availability in the world at large. It will take this whole book and many others for us to even begin to communicate our excitement about it. What's the essence of that excitement? These paragraphs are in italics, these two. We feel we have broken the encryption of fundamental human confusion and separateness. We sense that we have punched in the access code for a wholesale transformation of human life and culture in a truly democratic, voluntary, natural manner. The evidence is continuing to appear in our lives and those of others every day. After all the failure, all the despair, all the numb hopelessness, all the endless passages into cul-de-sacs, all the searches that only accomplish cosmetic growth and modest but superficial transformation, we are arriving into a liberated realization that is as human as it is divine, in which the absolute conscious freedom is as obvious as our fingers and toes, our fears and desires. We invite you to explore our approach, question it and us to your heart's content, and join us if you wish. No one, no single body owns this way. Everybody manifests his, her, its unique expression. Conscious mutuality requires and also makes inevitable democratic gatherings of awakening and awakened beings. Such beings revel in the spontaneous consummation of the marriage of consciousness and matter in every body and in the worlds wherein these body forms appear. Together they prompt, I sense, some kind of super intensifying transformation of everything and everyone. Again, white hot. That ends the prologue of Waking Down.